T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Fan headline: Steelers practice schedule, training camp schedule update. Off today, then they move over to Heinz Field tomorrow to, as they put it, I guess, get acclimated to the stadium. And then first practice in front of fans since 2019 is Wednesday. They'll put the pads on and start knocking heads around. The pads will pop on Wednesday. More fan headlines at 93.7thefan.com. We're out to the fan hotline. It's brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitas to talk to Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette. Ray, I understand. I think I'm allowed to ask you this because Mike Tomlin was asked about it. He seemed none too pleased either. We had our first training camp fight on Saturday, did we not?
We did, and Dan Moore Jr., the rookie offensive tackle, was involved in both. And, you know, these things are so common throughout camp. There's going to be two or three more before camp comes to an end. I think Mike was more ticked at the fact that it happened on consecutive plays and Moore was involved in both plays. So hopefully we see more of him. It always makes it more exciting for the fans and reporters, but I don't know about the head coach.
Ray, the Dan Moore Jr. Question for a second, if I could. All over the place. ESPN ran a story on this guy, not a story on him, but ran a roster projection story last week that, because of the guys they brought in off the street as backup offensive linemen, speculated that he could miss the roster and get cut altogether. And now I see Albert Breer from SI, who was at Steelers camp this weekend, saying he thinks that Dan Moore Jr. has a chance to start at left tackle this year. So where do you come down on what he has shown so far in training camp and where he stands, Ray?
Well, he's been getting some run with the first team, but that's only because Chuks Okorafor is dealing with what right now is being termed a minor injury by Mike Tomlin. We'll see how that goes over the next week, if there's any concern over that. I don't want to comment on other people's reports, but my feelings on Dan are probably more so in line with ESPN's. I think this is likely a redshirt year for him. I think he's going to make the 53-man roster because you don't usually cut fourth-round picks. But unless he really shows something during camp, I would expect him to make the roster, but probably not dress on game days. I mean, you sort of look at offensive tackle. You got your two starters and Chuks and Banner. You got Haig as your swing tackle. I just don't know where Dan Moore fits in right now. And I certainly don't think he has a chance to start, based on what I've seen during the first,
Ray,
week or so of camp.
Ray, we know that Najee Harris has been showing out so far, it seems like, at least among all the rookies. That's the name you understandably hear the most. Is there anybody else among this rookie class that has, in your mind, drawn, kind of gotten noticed by the coaching staff and maybe been better than advertised so far, or just popped more when you've watched practice?
Pat Freiermuth. I mean, the next time I see him.
I wish you hadn't said that, because now Pony is going to. Now Pony's going to sit here and smugly cross his arms over his chest because he was all about Freiermuth when they drafted him. But continue.
He's really, really good. And I probably just jinxed him. And I'm sure it's happened. I just haven't seen it. But I haven't seen him drop a football yet during training camp. So his hands are as advertised. His route running's really good. He's tough. So for me, it's, hey, can you help in the run game? And if he can help in the run game, that guy's going to play a lot. But he's already going to get a lot of playing time just because he's a really, 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 really good receiver. I mean, he's been – Najee's been great, but Pat Freiermuth has been right behind him here during the first 4 days of camp, and I want to see him in pads now, right? I want to see if he can do what he's done for the last week in pads. If he does, there's going to be more talk about this kid.
Right, let's talk about the elephant in the room, although I hesitate to say elephant when I bring up a Ben Roethlisberger question because I don't want him to think that it's about his weight, comparing him to the largest land animal in the world. The stuff about his arm strength, Terrell Austin's going on and on, oh man, and Ben's throwing the ball so better deep downfield, it's incredible. Are you seeing those things that from an extra year of getting over the elbow reconstruction, he is throwing a better ball in practices? Can you pick up on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was at practice yesterday, and I saw the same thing that Austin did. But I don't think it was anything out of the ordinary based on what I saw at training camp last year. So, like, you know, Ben talked about this. He didn't talk about this last week when he met with us, but I think it was in OTAs. You know, he was worn down later in the season, so he feels great right now. He felt great last camp. So now it's all about how do we sort of get him to the finish line this year? You know, how do we manage his arm? You know, you probably saw over the weekend he was limited to one day. He was off the other day. He was back at it yesterday. I mean, they're going to keep him on his normal camp regimen, and I think that's a good thing. He's done it for years. But unlike last year, he didn't have all those rehab throws on his arm. And I think that ultimately has a chance to make a difference. But like I've been saying all offseason, you know, check back in November, December. We'll see where he is. But right now, he's making all the throws, and he's making all of them well.
Ray, how much do you think the goal of keeping him as fresh as can be through the end of the year is something that can be accomplished through the team sort of structuring things a certain way for him? And how much do you think the onus is just on Ben Roethlisberger to try to do whatever it might be to keep himself as fresh as possible?
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, Ben's been doing this for 18 years, so I'm sure they have a plan ready for him that he's going to follow, not only in training camp, but during the season, too. You know, he probably won't practice a lot on Wednesdays. He'll be out there for the mental reps. And then, you know, he'll ramp it up and get ready for Sunday. The easiest way for the team to sort of take some ownership of the situation is to hand the ball off to Najee Harris more, provided that offensive line is ready to step up and be a factor in the run game. So, you know, based off last season, how many times did we see him throw 40, 45, 50, 50-some throws, I don't think you have to do that this year. As long as the running game is good and you can turn to it, that's another way you could take throws off that elbow, and that's another way you could sort of get him to the finish line late in the season.
Ray, I don't want to make too big of a deal of this, but I do want to get your opinion on it. I'm a little bit confounded by Roethlisberger getting this much time off. He's there, but watching this much practice at the beginning of training camp. Because if learning this offense is as complicated or as hard or as there's so much to it as Ben has led on, shouldn't he be out there more actually running the offense and getting it down pat? Like, I don't remember hearing last year in Tampa Bay that Tom Brady would do one practice on and then take one off. Like, I don't get that. If it's really for Ben, this challenge, and he's got his daughter with flashcards trying to help him learn it, wouldn't it be helpful for him to actually go out and do it?
I'm a little bit torn on that. You know, I think Ben at this stage of his career is more than able to go out there and take mental reps and to sort of get his work done that way. I don't know that actually going through the physical motions of being under center and throwing a pass means that much when you're 39 years old. Does it mean a lot when you're 19, 21, 23? Yeah, it definitely does. You need to sort of go out and do it for the first time, you know, to make that happen. And, you know, as far as Brady goes, you know, you do not hear a lot about him taking days off, but everyone's different, right? You know, to my knowledge, Brady hasn't had major elbow surgery or any arm problems at all. You know, and Ben's sort of been dealing with this for 5 or 7 years now, and, you know, sort of culminated.
But he's
with
got
that
bad knee, Ray. He had that MCL thing all last year,
I mean,
and he's still out there.
Yeah, but I think knees are a little bit different from elbows in terms of actually you know, going out there. And, I mean, the most important – yeah, I mean, your lower half is important for a quarterback. Absolutely, yes. But you can't do your job, as you saw back in 2019. Can't do your job if you need Tommy John surgery or whatever Ben had. And as you saw with Brady, you can get through the season with a knee injury, even though we didn't know about it because it wasn't on the injury report.
And you can throw a ball right into a jugs machine three straight times, apparently, and have it pop back to you very successfully. Talking to Ray Fittipaldo, the time is 3:38, brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. I guess another sort of elephant in the room, just because it's a touchy subject for a lot of people. What can you tell us, Ray, about the yellow wristbands that the Steelers apparently now, according to this Pro Football Talk report, are having unvaccinated players wear? Is it just to identify guys on the field? Do they want to keep certain players away from others? Is there any light you can shed on this for us at the moment?
Well, the first I heard about it was this morning when Pro Football Talk had that report. And, you know, he had the picture. He identified Najee Harris as being one of the guys on the Steelers who's not vaccinated. Now, is this a major issue in late July? Absolutely not. You know, there's a chance, I don't know why it hasn't happened by now, but there's a chance that Najee Harris and others on the team will be fully vaccinated by the time the season starts. And there's plenty of time for those guys to get both shots and for that not to be an issue. Mike Tomlin kind of poo-pooed it when we asked him about it, I think on the first or second day of camp. He said, that's behind us. You know, he touted the organization's approach to it. They are one of 10 teams, and this was 10 days ago.
Yep.
The Associated Press had a report. One of 10 teams at 85% vaccination or above. They're probably above that by now. So you're talking, what, 8, 10, 12 players who are not fully vaccinated. And like I said, maybe by the time the season starts, that'll be taken care of. I don't think it's a huge story now, but I think it can be a huge story in early September.
Ray, along the same lines with Najee, if you didn't know where the guys were drafted and you were just watching the running backs practice and you had no prior knowledge about who was who and the pedigree and the career resume and everything else, would you be able to tell from showing up to training camp that that Najee was a cut above everybody else on the running back depth chart?
Yes. You can – I want to say you can definitely see that, but there is a reason why he was a first-round pick. His quickness, his ability to find the holes, to sort of squirm through the holes. And that's why I'm looking forward to these padded practices Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, assuming they go full all 4 days, because we're going to get to see some live running game. And that's the main emphasis of this offseason. It's been nice that they worked it in OTAs. It's nice that they worked it here the first 4 days of camp. But live reps during the first, you know, against the first team defense, see how that offensive line does and see how Najee Harris does. I think if the blocking is there, guys, I think he's going to put a show on this year. But like I said, I'm anxious to see him on Wednesday doing it for the first time.
Ray, last wraps for today, and then we'll let you go. But what do you make of so far this nickel corner, the successor to Mike Hilton battle on this team? Who's got an inside track, and do you like basically the pool of players that they have jockeying for time at that spot?
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I think ultimately, you know, Terrell Austin hinted at this yesterday. They have supreme confidence that Sutton can go back inside. He said he only needs a week to sort of take those reps again, and then, you know, it'll have to be Lane or Pierre if one of these other guys don't work out. I think this training camp is all about looking at Arthur Millett and looking at Antoine Brooks and seeing if those guys are viable options, because they would like to keep Cam Sutton outside. So these guys are getting an opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at him hard for 3 or 4 games. And then if it doesn't work out, you know, the week before the season, we'll be talking about Cam Sutton being that versatile guy again and James Pierre or maybe Justin Lane being the outside guy. But I think for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to see what this competition's all about and see if, you know, either Brooks or Millett is worthy of being that guy.
Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. Appreciate it as always, Ray. Thank you.
All right, guys. Anytime.
Chris, isn't it just to you, this whole corner thing that you just mentioned to Ray there?
When you by the way, that I cut off that and artificially said it was the end. You could have jumped in there. That's my apology.
When you see the Eagles
get
Steven Nelson, and it's $2.5 million, and then everything else is like an incentive-laden deal. How the frig weren't the Steelers able to sit down with him amicably and hammer out something like, hey, we think we can make you an offer that's not quite what you're making right now, but it's still going to be a fair one to you, and we still consider you a good starting corner. The fact that they just cut him loose, and now you're asking Ray questions about Arthur Maulet, like contributing to their defense.
What gets here's the only so to answer what you're bringing up here, the only plausible answer I can imagine is this, and I'm just trying to put myself in Nelson's shoes. They cut him loose, and there's raw feelings there. And if he had been approached that way by the Steelers, he might have balked at it and said, hey, you signed me. If you still think I'm a good player, pay me what you signed me for. The only thing I could imagine is if you've been cut loose and you're in his position and you suddenly find that the market you thought would be there for you maybe doesn't materialize, that I guess you're more malleable, you're more willing to take an incentive deal like the one the Eagles gave him. Oh, then you would have been if the team that originally signed you to the contract you just got cut from had come to you and said,
but
hey, wait a minute, take a cut.
Even with the incentives, it's not anywhere
close
to the money he was making from the
Steelers. I'm just wondering if it took the lack of interest maybe on the open market from other teams. Because I honestly, maybe I was an idiot. I thought he was going to get a deal quicker than he did and a better deal.
Same.
I'm wondering if he thought the same thing, and now after so much time has passed, that was sort of what it took to get him to that point. That's all I've got. Do you have a better theory?
No, I think both parties made a mistake here. I think the Steelers in the way they went about it, thinking that they could just cut him and figure it out an ad hoc corner together without him, when it's a position that has plagued them and they've had such a hard time finding good players there and developing them on their own, was an oversight. And I think Nelson thinking that because corners are in demand, that he would get a late start on free agency and still make big money was a mistake too. I'm saying there had to be a way for these two to come together to make it both worth their while, because I think Steven Nelson and the Steelers are both worse off without each other.
I would agree with that. I no disagreement whatsoever. And if they struggle in the secondary, and I think that is a distinct possibility, specifically at corner, I'm going to be thinking about this conversation we're having for as many games as it takes for them to get their act together. Not happy about it. Registration for JamFest now open. JamFest 3-on-3 basketball tournament for grades 3 through adult, benefiting Folds of Honor, happening August 21st, North Park Basketball Court. Register today, 937thefan.com/JamFest. JamFest, it's presented by Keystone Shooting Center. Coming up, Olympics, couple days old. I know my wife has been watching them religiously. In my opinion, even though there's many, many days of this to go, the games have already had their defining moment. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.